Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you all. Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. Thanks for getting out of bed today to come and worship. And as Jesse so emphatically stressed, it's a privilege to do that. Children, by the way, children are dismissed for children's church at this time. Thank you for that. Would you turn with me in the book of Galatians this morning? It's good to see all of you today. To page 972. Page 972. We're talking about God's gospel changes people. Page 972. Our focus this morning is on verses 18 to 24, but I'm actually going to go back up to verse 11. Remember that Paul is astonished that this group from Jerusalem has come down and has preached a different gospel, and he's astonished that the Galatians, who have fully embraced grace alone by faith alone in Christ alone, he's astonished that they've so quickly deserted that, and they've drifted back to what the Jerusalem people have been trying to impress on them, that they need to go back to the old ways of the law and adopt circumcision and readopt some of the religious festival celebrations and all that. But I want to start in verse 11, if you would follow along with me. I'm going to read through the end of the chapter. "For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel was not preached by me." I'm sorry, I read that wrong. "I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel." That's very important. Did you get that? It's not man's gospel. Verse 12. "For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me, in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away into Arabia and returned again to Damascus." Here's our focus this morning. Verse 18. "Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I'm writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, 'He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy.' And they glorified God because of me." It was an early Sunday morning. It was cold and damp, and it was a grim day. It might have even been snowing out. And the mother of the house was trying to get everyone ready for church, and she looked at the clock, and they only had 10 minutes before they were to leave. She called upstairs to her son and said, "We've got to go. There's only 10 minutes. He hadn't come out of his bedroom yet. We've got to get ready for church." No response. She tried again. "It's time to go. We've got to get ready. Come on." Still no response. She said it once more. And finally, a little voice came wafting down the stairwell to her. Said, "I'm not going." And the mother heaved a sigh and dragged herself up the stairs and stood in front of her son's bedroom door. "It's time to go to church," she said again. "I'm not going," the son replied. She decided to try a different tactic. "You know lots of people at that church, and lots of people know you." And the son said firmly, "I don't have any friends at that church, and no one likes me there, and I'm not going to go to that church." And the mother finally said to her son, You have got to go to that church because you're the pastor and you're preaching this morning. Gotcha. Listen, the theme, one of the themes here in the letter to Galatians, one of the themes that keeps coming through is this ongoing conflict between church authority and the authority of the gospel. The Galatians had these people who show up suddenly one day from Jerusalem, and they're being told that Paul was teaching something about grace that wasn't true, and that he was adding to something to the gospel or going outside of what the true gospel was. That's what they were proclaiming. And the Galatians were told that the reason they could know this, the reason they could know this was true from the people from Jerusalem, was that the church from Jerusalem had sent them down and that they had been with James. That's what chapter 2, verse 12 tells us. They claimed that they came from James, who was that Lord's half-brother, who was the head of the Jerusalem church. They even went so far as to say that Paul had his authority from the church in Jerusalem as well, but that he was a man-pleaser who was remaking the gospel so that it would be more attractive and it would tickle the ears of his hearers. These people from Jerusalem were trying to impress on the Galatians to go back to the old ways of the law. You need to get circumcised, they were telling them over and over, in order to be really demonstrating that you belong to God. You know what? I was thinking about it this week as I was working on this, and I thought, you know, there's nothing like a little church conflict to fire people up. Isn't that true? Here, the conflict is about the authority. Who has the authority here? Is it the church in Jerusalem, or is it the pure and simple gospel that holds the authority? And Paul's arguing here that it's the gospel that has the sole authority, not the church. And if he says, or Peter, he will say in chapter 2, or anyone else wanders from that pure and simple gospel, let him be accursed. Literal Greek translation, let him descend to the pit of hell for changing the gospel. And Paul is saying that these people who preach a different gospel other than the simple faith in Christ alone must not be followed, and you must be careful or they're going to lead you astray, he's telling the Galatians. Now, I don't know whether you're aware of this or not, but probably the last, I'm thinking 10, 15 years at least, about the time I was probably, maybe a little longer, I was getting out of seminary. The last years, there's been this huge push to return to orthodoxy. To return to what's defined, orthodoxy is defined as the original ancient beliefs and practices. And in the Christian world, there's been a huge, huge push about that. Orthodoxy being the original beliefs and practices. And there's been this push to get back to the original church. And many people have left other churches to do that and to go to what they consider the original church. Well, the question becomes, what's the original church? I mean, what is really the ancient original church? And some will argue, well, it's the Russian Orthodox Church, or it's the Greek Orthodox Church. And some will say, no, it's the Roman Catholic Church that's the original church. And others would say, no, it's the Celtic Orthodox Church. Well, you know what? I think the Apostle Paul has an answer to that conflict. And he says that the true church is the church who holds to the ancient, pure message of the gospel. Paul says that's where the authority lies, in the gospel that's authored by God Himself. And nothing else. The pure, ancient, pure gospel message. Next month in June, Karen and I are going to head back to Minnesota to visit our family and have some vacation time. And it's rather interesting that when we get ready to go, we always take the calendar and we make a travel plan. You might call it a travel log. And we take the calendar because we know we have to be in four different homes in that time. We have to go to three of our three children's homes, and we have to go visit Karen's mom. So we take the calendar, and over 3 weeks' time, we plot out exactly, well, in this many days we're going to be in Liz's, this many days in Dan's, this many days in Matt's, and this many days in Mom's house. And we know exactly where we're going to be when, and how much time each one we're going to be able to invest in and spend time with. And you know what? It's Paul's travelogue. It's his travelogue that gives us the inside look here at what really is the true gospel. It's an amazing thing. Paul says here in these verses, I didn't go back to Jerusalem to learn doctrine. He says, I went there for a personal visit. I was only there 15 days, and when I went, there's only two people I saw. I saw Cephas, and I saw James, the head of the church. I didn't even go back and consult the church in that time when I finally went back there. You see, I think it's important that we see the contemporary relevance here about Paul's itinerary, his travelogue. He's being very detailed in where he's been, how long he was there, and who he saw. And I think it's the Holy Spirit here who recorded Paul's travelogue for us. Question? Why? Why? Because it shows us where the authority is that he's speaking from. It's from God, and it's God's gospel, and no one gets to change it. It doesn't matter what your title might be, Paul says. Amen. That's why he says in verses 11 and 12, for I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. He says, I didn't receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen, the gospel is an ancient message that cannot and does not change, and no one should attempt to change it. Our faith isn't built on sand. Our faith is built on the rock of God Himself, who will not be moved, the Bible tells us. The gospel is not a tradition. The gospel is not some fad that comes and goes and fades in and out. It's eternally rooted in God Himself, who never changes and He cannot lie. It also means some other things. It means this. It means that what Paul says is what God says. In other words, to disobey Paul's writings in the New Testament is to disobey God Himself, because God authored everything that Paul has become and everything that he's preaching in this New Testament. We have to be very careful to realize that when we disobey what Paul has written, we are disobeying God Himself. We can't pick and choose whether we agree with Paul or not. Because when you pick and choose, you're picking and choosing whether you agree with God or not in your life. The second thing I think it means, there's some other things. It means that as believers, we should be committed to the local church. We ought to be very, very, very committed to the local church. In other words, find a church, join a church, become part of an active member with a local church and stick with it. Love it through good times and hard times, and there will be hard times in the local church that will make mistakes. We're fallible human beings. We won't always agree with one another. But as long as that church is committed to proclaiming the true, pure message, the ancient message of the gospel, there's no reason to depart. I don't care what you can manufacture for a reason. You're called to love and be committed and to stick in there and stay with it until the very end. There's one other thing. The true gospel means we can't be blown around and deceived by and pretended new and secret messages of Jesus. And we hear this stuff all the time. I went on Amazon. I was curious last night, so just before I was going to bed, I thought, I'm going to look at Amazon. How many secret messages have come out in the new publications and the books? I mean, there's reams and pages. The secret appearance of Jesus Christ, and the secret of the shroud, and the secret of this, and the secret of that. And it goes on and on and on. There's no secret. He rose from the dead. He's alive. There's nothing hidden. It's only foolishness to those who are perishing, Paul said, but it's the wisdom of God to those who believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel's true. And you know what? What's true lasts forever, and nothing, not even the church, can change that. As hard as the church might try. You know what came out in the news this week? A church in Ohio. I won't tell you the name of the church because I don't want to defame it. The headline: Church touts homosexuality as a gift from God, not a sin. I love that in the middle of the argument, and I saw that. I know that's true because they showed the billboard out front of the church. In this article that came out about it, it says this: why would God bestow this gift only to condemn it throughout the Bible? This would seemingly contradict His character as a God who is loving and just. You see, if God's holy, and He's been very emphatic in His Word that He hates all kinds of immorality, not just homosexuality, but all sexual immorality. He hates it when a man sleeps with a man and a woman sleeps with a woman. He hates it when a husband goes outside his marriage and a wife goes outside her marriage. He hates all immorality. He hates it when you and I go on the internet and look at pornography. He hates it when a man lusts in his heart after a woman and a woman lusts in her heart after a man. He hates all that. He's just, and His justice demands that He punishes. But His love demands that He forgives it through the cross of Christ when we embrace the grace, the free gift of grace. You see, the church, even the church, because it's fallible, sometimes tries to change the message and brings out new and secret things that are absolutely outside the ancient message of the purity of the gospel. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Okay, it's time to drive this thing home. Let's drive it home. Because the gospel is true, the church cannot and must not ever change it. Instead, the church must praise God because of the gospel message. Look at verses 21 to 24 with me as I reread them today. Then I went to the regions of Syria and Cilicia, there it comes. And I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea. That would have been up around Jerusalem, the churches of Judea, that are in Christ. They were only hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. Here it comes. And they glorified God because of me. You see, this is good news. The gospel of God actually changes people, and it changed the Apostle Paul. And when a life is changed, like Paul's life was changed, people get all excited about it, as Jesse was talking about it this morning, and they glorify God because of it. Somewhere today, maybe sitting here in this congregation, there's a bitter old woman who lives in anger at her husband. And they live in the same house. But they ignore each other, except when it comes to disagreeing with one another over any topic. There's a guy here today that probably thinks more highly of himself than he really ought to. He thinks he's much better than all the other people around him in this life. You see, Paul is the example of what God does by His gospel all the time. He changes people from the inside out. When the heart is turned towards God's, souls are delivered from death and condemnation unto eternal life. The world, Jesus said, is trying to steal from you. It's trying to kill you. It's trying to destroy you. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Jesus Christ, through the gospel of grace, calls us from a dour, lifeless, miserable existence that squashes our potential in the kingdom of God. Jesus, on the other hand, calls you to a rich and full and joyful and life overflowing with meaning. He calls you to the blessing and the personal favor of God in continual fellowship with Him and His people. He calls you to eternal life. Paul's the example of what God does by His gospel all the time. You might say, really? Can that really happen to me? I'll say, yes, it too can happen to you, and it happens every day to people just like you. And if you step into faith, into Jesus Christ, into the pure ancient message of grace, it will happen to you as well. Listen for a moment. Come here, Annie. Listen for a few moments as Annie and Cherry Bell comes and shares how the gospel of grace has changed her life.
Excuse me, because I'm going to start crying, okay? And I don't talk in front of people. I'm very shy, but I cry a lot. For those who do not know me, my name is Annie Echerivet. I'd like to share my testimony. My husband and I were married in 1972. We had a good life. We moved from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and started a family. I worship my husband and my four children. We had a nice home, a nice car, a husband that worked at the mines. He made good money. He worked at the copper mines. I thought my life was fulfilled. My husband had some friends at the mines, and they were sharing the gospel to him. Well, he accepted Jesus Christ as his personal savior. Then I accepted him as my personal savior. I started a new path in life. God became first in my life. I did not worship my kids and my husband no longer. We then started a Bible study in our home. I also helped out with the Christian Pioneer Girls. Then we were in another crossroad. My husband got laid off from the mines. I had to go to work. I applied at Hughes Aircraft. I did not have no school, and God gave me that job. 2 years later, my husband became a police officer, and that was a godsend. Now, 20-something years later, we are both retired. We now live in San Carlos. I grow to have wisdom through scripture and through women's Bible study. I have learned that Jesus rescued me because He delights in me, Psalms 18:19. His word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalms 119:105. I want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for saving me and for giving me salvation.
Praise the Lord. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul. Paul said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And the church broke out in praise to God because of the change in Paul's life. Listen, that still happens today, and it happens because someone believes the true message like Annie has believed it. The message of grace. Paul's the example here in this text this morning of what happens inside of us when we believe the gospel. God, through the gospel, changes people. And when God gets a hold of a person's life and that inward change takes place, God is exalted and people break out in praise to God. He who is persecuting is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorify God because of me, Paul says. You know, there are many people sitting here today, I believe, changed by the gospel. I'm one of them. They're not who they used to be. They've given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. They've surrendered themselves from their foolish ways to the Savior. They've been healed from the brokenness and despair and hopelessness of life by the shed blood of Jesus Christ that forgives and washes all of the crud away out of your life. They have entered into a new life relationship with the living God. And all of this is from God, and therefore all praise goes to God. It's not made by human hands. It's not changed by the church. A life is not reinvented by the latest religious fad or the secret things. It's not human tradition. It's not by flesh and blood. It wasn't the Jerusalem church that changed any lives in Galatia. This is God's doing by the grace in Jesus Christ. He called Paul. He's calling you. God commissioned Paul. God is commissioning you to eternal life. It's God's gospel, and there is no other. It changes people. And friend, the gospel will change you this very moment of this very day. God, by the gospel, will change you. We don't give our praise to human beings. We give our praise to God who changes our lives. And when the church is about that, listen, it's worth getting out of bed in the morning and going to the house of the Lord. And it's worth it for you giving your life. It's worth it for you to surrender everything to the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's worth it for you to give it up and to totally turn and trust His salvation freely given for you. Stop running away from Him and start running towards Him. And embrace the change He's just waiting to pour into your life. God's calling you today, friend. He's calling you today. And the question is, will you come by faith to Him and Him alone and turn it all over? In John chapter 10, Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly." Bow your heads with me, would you please? Christy, would you come? Friend, God's calling you today. He's calling you. Because He wants to change your life. Why the stubborn rebelliousness about that in your heart? Why the great resistance to turn it all over to Him? Why would you resist the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the King of Glory? Lift up your heads, O you gates, and the King of Glory will enter in, Psalm records. That's you. When you lift up your head and begin to praise God, the King of Glory will enter your life. But you have to come by faith willingly. You have to lay it all down and surrender before Him. Today's the day to do that. Because God wants to change you from the inside out. Spirit of the living God, would you move over this room and in these people's lives this morning, our lives, God. Convict us where we need to be convicted. Press down on us when we need to be pressed down on. Break our resistance, Lord. Thinking that the gospel is foolish when it's eternal life to all who will believe. God, push, bring us into the kingdom of God who need to come into the kingdom of God this morning. Holy Spirit of God, may the kingdom of God enter here today into people's lives as we come to you by faith today. Spirit of the living God, work here this morning. We invite your work here today. I'm the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus Christ has laid down his life for you. Will you allow him to change your life today? We're going to sing "Just As I Am." As we're singing this morning, We want to ask you to stand. "Just as I am, without one plea." If you want God to change your life, if you're willing to surrender, if you're willing to turn it over to Him, just rise with us, please. We want you to come forward. We want to pray with you this morning. Our elders will be up front with me. If you want to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, we invite you to come this morning and let the Lord of glory enter into your life, and to change you from the inside out. Won't you come as we sing?